Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Go On. My name is Dave Warnke, and as always, I'm here with Jess Perkins. Hello, Jess.
Hello. I wish I was never born.
Well, someone hopefully that does wish they were born, and we're glad that they are born, because that means they could join us as a special guest this week. It's Michelle Brazier.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm the only one who's going to clap for our guest. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll clap as well. Thank you.
Oh, welcome. So great to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We've plucked you from the depths of your Edinburgh Fringe run.
Yes.
Brought you back in time to Melbourne.
Yes. And let me tell you, now that I'm back in time, I wish that I stretched more now because I am tired then.
Yeah.
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 It makes I'm you one think. Week in
yeah.
and I'm tired.
And how many standing ovations have you had? One week.
What date is this? The 9th? I've had 9.
That's bold. I like it.
Yep. Had 9. Mm-hmm. That's the, yep. That's a, I assume it's sold out for the entire season.
Right, but just in case it isn't, people yes. should look it up to make sure it's not.
Oh, double check, yes.
Yeah, right?
Do double check. Yeah, double check that. Doubly, doubly chick choose. Chicka choo choo.
And what time are you on? 7?
Yeah.
O'clock.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's 7, yeah.
Around 7. I was going to guess 7-ish, 30, but you know.
I think it's 7 at Gilded Balloon.
At the Gilded Balloon.
At the Gilded Balloon. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And you've got a couple of weeks of shows left at this stage.
Yes, until the end of August.
And that's 2023, if anybody's listening. It's 2023. In August of 2025. And yes. we're long dead.
Yeah.
What, humanity or just the three of us?
Three of us.
Three of us.
What happened?
Oh, mate.
Big submarine accident.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Yeah. With just three of us on
just
board?
Just the three of us, yeah.
Wow.
I'm building it.
The deepest podcast. I wonder what that record would be.
That's why I'm building it.
It can't be that deep. Like, I reckon you could do that quite easily.
Okay, like at the bottom.
We could do it in the bath.
Probably.
Should we do a podcast in the bath?
Or
I know
a pool,
this isn't my podcast,
least.
But like. What if we did it in the bath?
Yeah, okay, we could.
Do you have a bath that could fit all three of us?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, not comfortably, but like I don't think like Matt couldn't get in. He's too long.
Yeah.
But the three of us
squished up.
Matt could zoom in from his own bath because he loves a bath.
Matt could zoom in from a bath. Remember that Zoom we did when we were all losing our minds, Jess mm-hmm. Perkins, mm-hmm. during the pandemic mm-hmm. in the lockdown, where everyone started. We were dressed in a theme, which was tennis.
Yeah, well, it was like country club.
And then
we dressed like wealthy people from country clubs.
And then we had cocktails, like Pimm's, I assume.
Yeah,
we all went and bought Pimm's, had Pimm's in our homes, and then ended the Zoom. Everyone got in their individual baths. Even like, and I didn't have a bath. I had a Bunnings storage tub. And I got into the big Bunnings storage tub, and Tim got into the smaller Bunnings storage tub in our second bathroom. And he joined the Zoom. And that was the moment I realized I loved him.
That was the moment.
We were about 5 years in. And I thought, no, I do like him.
I like him.
He's quite funny. Also available to see in my Edinburgh Fringe show. Also, you can see the Bunnings storage tub that I was bathing in that. There's a bit about it in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know you'd actually upgraded to a real bath. I was still imagining you
I've
in the tub.
I've got a real bath. Yeah, no, I've moved to a place with a real bath.
That's why I thought all three of us were getting to the tub. And I've seen it in the show and I was like, we're not getting in there.
You'd be surprised how easy it is to get into a Bunnings storage. I mean, I really was quite shocked at how easy and how pleasurable my experience was in that Bunnings storage tub. Big storage.
Yeah.
80 litres. Fantastic.
80 litres is a lot of litres.
That's fantastic. You're a little squished, but it's good. It gets a bit cold. You pour it out, you fill it up again. You do have to pour out those 80 litres. That's part of it.
Oh, yeah, so plug.
It's a real balancing, no plug.
Yeah, true. That's the best part. I've just realised the best part of a bath is the plug.
The plug is so important. Yeah.
An important feature of the bath. Dave, why don't you explain to people what we're doing here today?
What we do here is we take it in turns to report on a topic often suggested to us by one of the listeners. We go away, we do a bit of research, we bring it back to the group in the form of a report while the other two people chat along.
Yeah.
We should mention Matt is away on holiday this week, so he's not here. He's not just being very awkwardly quiet in the corner over here.
But that would be believable.
Yeah.
If you thought that was the case, you're not, you know, you're not that far off.
All right,
he's just being shy.
He is here. I forgot to turn his microphone on. But it's Jess's turn to report on a topic this week. And Jess, we always start with a question. Do you have a question for us?
I do. My question is, which Disney princess was modeled on and voiced by Irene Bedard?
Is it Pocahontas?
It is Pocahontas.
God damn it. I was going to say, Little Mermaid, is she a princess?
Yeah, they're all Disney princesses.
I'm a princess. Are you a princess, Dave?
We're all Disney princesses.
We are all Disney princesses.
Oh, but Pocahontas.
Pocahontas.
There you go.
Here's something fun. I am very distantly related to the real Pocahontas.
No way.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How did you find that out?
My auntie told me and I didn't verify it.
You just went, I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know we have like some South American that's not that far away from the other America. Listen, I should Google it.
Yeah, but
I think there is a family tree thing that you, anyway, I'm sure it's
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Well, how fortuitous that we've had you on this episode.
Yeah. Me. A real life Pocahontas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's been suggested by quite a few people, and the Patreons voted for this topic as well because, yeah, I'm going to talk about the real Pocahontas.
Toot toot.
And it's been suggested by Jared Schaefer from Ohio, Nick Malthouse from Mount Gambier, Charlotte Stevenson from Liverpool, Hazel Jaggers from Hailsham, and Sandy Tai from Ballarat.
I've been to Ballarat.
I've been there too.
Wow, I've been there as well.
My grandma lives there. And
what?
Like heaps of my cousins.
How did she get that?
She
auditioned?
It was ages ago.
Oh, you know? Did she get discovered?
Yeah.
Headhunted?
Yeah.
In Ballarat. The street, at the mall?
To live in Ballarat.
At Sports Girl?
Yeah, at Sports Girl.
I always, when I go to Sports Girl when I was little, I thought I would get headhunted to be a model.
That's what Sports Girl meant to you. It was like, yeah. I'm about to be discovered.
In Wagga.
Did you just walk around? They're like...
Yeah, I'd like strut around.
Excuse me, miss, you've been in Sports Girl for 6 hours?
Yeah.
And can we help you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can help me. Take
be
me
a star
to the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean?
But that's how, I mean, that's why you're in Edinburgh right now. You,
I got
Sports Girl brought you over to Edinburgh.
Sports Girl sponsored me. I'm produced by Sports Girl.
And for international listeners, Sports Girl has nothing to do with sport.
No.
That it's a fashion retail chain.
It's your Forever 21s.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
It's your Top Shop.
Yeah. They got makeup palettes and little hair clips.
Oh, good.
And good sunnies.
Good fun, isn't it?
Bit of fun.
Bit of fun at Sports Girl.
Bit of fun. thank you, Sports Girl. We will take your money.
Thank you so much, Sports Girl.
So, Pocahontas.
Yes.
Here's a basic plot of the Disney movie.
Great. It's been a long time since I've seen it, I must admit.
I rewatched it and I was like, Oh boy. Well, so the most well-known depiction of the story of Pocahontas is the 1995 Disney film. So this is sort of the plot of that film. In the early 1600s, English settlers travel from London to the New World with hopes of adventure, finding gold, and creating settlement. In the Powhatan tribe in Virginia, Pocahontas, the daughter of Chief Powhatan, fears being possibly wed to Kokoum, a warrior who she sees as too serious for her own free-spirited personality. After having a dream about a spinning arrow, Pocahontas visits Grandmother Willow, a spiritual talking willow tree that alerts her to the arrival of the English. Meanwhile, Captain John Smith, voiced by Mel Gibson.
Oh, that's right.
Mel Gibson.
It's a bad choice for him. It's so weird hearing Mel Gibson. And also, all of his crew, like the entire crew's English, he's American, but voiced by Mel Gibson in the mid-90s when he could still comfortably do an Australian accent because he grew up here and he'd just done Gallipoli. When did Gallipoli come out? I don't know. So why not just make him do an English accent? Why is Captain John Smith American?
Was John Smith American?
No.
Wow. He just couldn't do an English accent.
Yeah, maybe. I reckon that's the answer, yeah.
That's so funny.
Mel Gibson was like, I'll do Mel Gibson, thank you.
Yeah, if you want people to believe it's Mel Gibson, okay, Gallipoli came out in 1981. It had been a while.
I think if you're an actor and you can't do general British.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Agreed.
You're not an actor.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do at least a general British.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, you're like, with a lot of accents, a lot of characters, you kind of need just a line to get into them. Like a Jason Statham, you need, what makes you think I'd risk my life for you?
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, general English, just do anything from Harry Potter.
Anything.
Or
anything.
Worse, expelled and you're in.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
She needs to sort out her priorities. You know, you're in.
Lucky Hermione pays attention in Herbology.
Wingardium Leviosa. You're there.
Leviosa, not Leviosa.
You know, it's easy. Right there.
I could do this entire thing with the general British and you wouldn't know. You would think I'd just gone on a jaunt. I could Phoebe Waller-Bridge, you know, and Nigella. It's obvious.
Microwave,
you know, have some fucking culture. Dumb. It's fine. Nah, good on him.
Good on you, Mel
Gibson. Sorry to pick on the little guy.
Yeah.
Perfect. Hey,
what's he ever done?
Exactly, perfect in every other way.
So anyway, Captain John Smith, he goes off exploring the wilderness. He's having a bit of a look around this new world, and he comes across Pocahontas. They quickly bond, fascinated by each other's worlds.
I'm sure they were.
And end up falling in love.
Do they just chat in the movie? I can't remember.
Initially, she sort of hides the fact that she can speak English. Baffling that she can, to be honest.
Okay.
She went to school.
Yeah.
Okay.
She went to school for it. She got Duolingo.
And they kind of, well, originally he's going to shoot her because he's there to kill. That's what he's there to do.
That's realistic.
Most of the others are like, we're going to find some gold. If we come across some savages,
good.
And he's like, leave them to me. I'll kill them. I've killed heaps of them before.
Oh, okay, great.
What a cool guy, don't you think?
So he's hiding behind a waterfall as she sort of like skips across one time and he jumps out to shoot her. And then he's like, wait, she's a babe. And then he doesn't shoot her. So ladies, it pays to be hot.
Pays to be hot.
Disgusting. Anyway, but like, you know, we're looking at this through a modern lens, you guys.
He jumps out and he says, have you heard of Sports Girl?
You could be a Sports Girl model.
You would love it. Anyway, they become friends. They fall in love. After a fight between settlers and natives, Powhatan orders the natives to stay away from the Englishmen. But Pocahontas and John continue to meet up. Both sides find out about this budding relationship and a fight breaks out. Kokoum attacks and attempts to kill John, but a young settler, Thomas, voiced by Christian Bale, intervenes and kills Kokoum.
Now, which of his many accents is he doing?
He is doing English, right. And he does not sound like Christian Bale.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's exciting.
He sounds so, I mean, it was a long time ago. He's probably just younger. But I'm like, that's Christian Bale.
But is that his real voice? I always find it very confusing when
he's English.
Yeah. When in interviews, you go, that's not what you sound like.
That's not you.
Stop it.
Stop it at once.
Stop making fun of the interviewer by putting on this silly voice. Sorry.
Billy Connolly's also in it.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is fun.
Can't argue with him. What was that bit of plot there? Someone nearly dies?
Thomas kills Kokoum.
Okay.
So Kokoum is attacking John. Thomas intervenes because right at the start of the film, Thomas goes overboard. John saves him. Now Thomas is saving John's life. So he kills Kokoam.
Oh.
John's like, get out of here. Before the rest of this tribe comes, they'll kill you.
You just killed someone.
Enraged at Kokoam's death, Powhatan angrily berates Pocahontas for leaving the village and declares war on the English, beginning with John's execution at dawn.
Yeah, they're the ones that did the war.
Yeah, it's their fault.
This is how I remember it.
Meanwhile, Thomas has made it back to the English settlers and tells them of John's capture, and they rally together to go fight the native people. Morning comes, and Powhatan and his tribe drag John to a cliff for his execution. Meanwhile, Ratcliffe, who's the governor.
Daniel
Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe, you dog.
That's General Ratcliffe. He's a classic Disney bad guy. He leads the armed colonists to fight Powhatan's warriors. Just as Powhatan is about to execute John and start the war, Pocahontas intervenes, throwing herself onto John and finally convincing her father to end the fighting between the two groups and spare John's life. She, like, throws herself onto... Oh, realistically as well, you're watching it and her dad is, like, mid-swing and then she sort of jumps on. And, like, logically, like, physics, that it wouldn't work. She'd get hit. You know, he's not in a position. He can't stop. But he does.
And is it with an axe or something?
It's, like, with a big club.
Oh, ow.
Yeah, it wouldn't be nice. So she, like, puts her head on top of John's and is like, if you're going to kill him, you got to kill me.
Dad's like, all right.
Puts her head on top of John's.
Oh, we got a twofer.
Because he's kind of, like, got his head on the side and she just puts her head on top.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
And she's like, I love him. And everybody's like, the fuck? And the English are like, whoa. And the Native Americans are like, whoa. And, like, the little animated animals are like, what? Because they understand English as well.
I love the animals.
And they're all...
Eva's here.
They're all speaking English the whole time. It makes a lot of sense. Anyway, the Voyager's leader, General Ratcliffe, the bad guy, orders his men to attack anyway, but they refuse. They're like, Billy Connolly says, but they don't want to fight.
Yes, Billy Connolly.
Love it.
And he's just doing Billy Connolly's voice?
He's just doing Billy Connolly, yeah. He's doing
you don't
Billy.
Hire Billy and then say, do General British.
Yeah.
You don't say, can you do Harry Potter? Can you do a Harry Potter voice?
Billy, could you do something different?
Stephen Fry. Can you do Stephen Fry?
Could you do Stephen Fry, please?
He was unavailable.
You go, give us full Billy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But they don't want to fight. It's like that. Because it's a Disney movie, so it's, you know, all the lines are very... exaggerated, and it's fun.
It is fun.
So they're refusing. They're like, we're not fighting them. They don't want to fight. But Ratcliffe fires his musket at Powhatan, and John sees all this happen, leaps in front of the bullet, takes the bullet.
Wow.
Saves the chief.
Wow.
He's nursed back to health by the tribe, but he has to return to England to get medical care. John asks Pocahontas to come with him, but she chooses to stay with her tribe and to help keep the peace. John leaves without Pocahontas, but Powhatan says, you're welcome here anytime. You can return anytime. You're one of us.
Right. All you had to do was risk your life for me.
Yeah.
Okay. You're all right, kid.
Was that a stain gum reference? Yeah. At the end, Pocahontas stands atop a cliff, watching the ship carrying John as it departs. That's beautiful.
Mm. Is that the end of the movie?
That's the end of the movie.
Wow.
It's a beautiful and romantic tale of love conquering all and bringing people together.
I mean, a lot of violence for, you know, a Disney cartoon from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Apparently, like, some of the songs, in a modern lens, some of the songs' lyrics, you're kind of like, ooh. But even back then, they were sort of trying to, I don't know, give, what am I trying to say? They were, like, trying to show what a ridiculous opinion they were having of these Native Americans, of sort of like, you know, yeah. So it's in a modern lens, it's yuck, but it's kind of purposefully yuck, I guess. So yeah, it's a love story, but it's also largely untrue.
Oh, sad.
Which is fine because it's a Disney movie, made for children. But it's not great at telling the story of a real person's life. I don't think I realized for a very long time that Pocahontas was a real person.
Mm.
She, in fact, was. But it's actually likely that Pocahontas wasn't even her real name.
Okay, they've really done a real rebrand. Yeah. There. What bits of the story did they keep?
Well, she is referred to as that, but William Stith, who was a historian in the 1700s, said her real name, it seems, was originally Mattox or Matooka, according to other sources, which the Native Americans carefully concealed from the English and changed it to Pocahontas out of a superstitious fear lest they, by the knowledge of her true name, should be enabled to do some sort of hurt. They just didn't want them to know her real name.
That's fair. I wouldn't tell them anything.
Yeah.
I don't think you should.
So they just, Pocahontas, I think, was a nickname, a childhood nickname meaning either little wanton or sometimes some people interpret it as playful one. So it was a nickname, Pocahontas.
Oh, cute.
Her birth year is unknown. It's thought to be around 1596. And she was the daughter of Chief Powhatan, who was the paramount chief of an alliance of about 30 groups in the Tidewater region of present-day Virginia. So he was like top chief. Now, little is known about Pocahontas's mother, and there are a few theories about her identity and status. Some assume that she would have had a fairly lowly status in the tribe. It has been theorized that she died in childbirth. There was an Englishman named Henry Spelman who was only about 14 when he arrived in Virginia, and he was basically given by John Smith to a village of native people, with the agreement being that he would learn the Powhatan language and become an interpreter.
Oh.
He was given.
Yeah.
You can have him.
You can have this guy.
They'd arrived about 2 weeks earlier and they go on this like little expedition, and he essentially is like, here, you go live with them, learn the language, and then you can interpret for us. And I believe in some things I read, like the Native Americans essentially gave a young person to the English settlers as well to do the same thing.
They did a boy swap.
Yeah, they did a boy swap. So I'll swap you that boy for this boy.
Oh, my boy's worth two of your boys. Oh. Look at him. Look at him.
All right. Yes, you're right.
You give me this little piece of shit boy.
This boy has psoriasis.
I don't have the relevant creams for this boy. I can't help this.
If you're going to give me the boy, you've got to give me the creams. I can't be expected to source creams for this boy.
One boy, one cream. You know the rule.
I don't want the boy to be uncomfortable here.
He can't be, you know, he's itching. He's not going to learn.
He'll be distracted by the itching.
And that's fair.
That's fine. So just give me the cream.
Give me the cream, mate. Hand over the cream.
Honestly. So he would then serve as a messenger between the two communities and facilitate trades and other communications. I got really lost in his Wikipedia page for a little bit because I was like, that's wild. But anyway, the reason I bring him up is that because in his writings, he noted that when one of the Paramount's chief's many wives gave birth, after she'd given birth, she was returned to her place of origin, could be within like any of those 30 smaller tribes, and she'd be supported by the Paramount chief until she found another husband.
Oh.
So that's possible as well. It's like he's got many, many wives for giving him lots of kids.
Okay.
And then like, I support you until you find someone else
to support you.
Thank you for letting me rent your uterus for a bit.
Right.
Listen, as far as that sort of thing goes, at least she had a bit of support, I guess.
Yeah.
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 I wouldn't volunteer for the program.
And that's okay. You don't have to.
I'd rather be in the boy swap.
Yeah.
Just the boy swap program sounds really good. We had a boy swap, I think. We had a Japanese boy come and stay with us for a bit.
It's just an exchange type thing.
And you really immerse yourself in the language, which is the best way to learn any language.
Absolutely. So I learned Japanese from the man.
Did you?
Well, the boy. He was a boy. He didn't have psoriasis. He didn't come with the cream, but he did help me with my Japanese. Hey. That means yes. Sucked in if you didn't understand.
And did you help him with his English, do you think? Or
yeah, which means no.
The Mattaponi Reservation, the people that are descendants of the Powhatans, their oral tradition claims that Pocahontas' mother was the first wife of Powhatan and that Pocahontas was named after her. So there's kind of a few different theories about who Pocahontas' mother was, but we don't know for sure.
My auntie's theory is seeming further and further away from true.
You never know.
Feels like it's not true.
We don't even know who her mother is.
Yeah, your auntie's like, we don't know who she is. I'm like, oh, I'm related to her.
I'm related. I am related.
100%.
One.
No question.
Yeah. I really just didn't look it up. And I kind of forgot about it until you just said it just now.
Yeah. It's one of those, but I think especially as when you're a younger person, you just believe the things your family say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you get a bit older and you're like, has anybody looked into that? And they're like, nah, just grandma said it one time. So
yeah,
we all just accept that.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got some family stuff that, yeah, there's some stuff that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that side, is it? Are you sure? There's definitely some secrets. we're looking into them.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
We'll do a report on Michelle's genealogy one day.
Be good fun.
So we don't really know much about her mother. What we do know is that Pocahontas is most famously linked to colonist John Smith, who arrived in Virginia with 100 other settlers in April 1607. The colonists settled on the James River, and their little town was called Jamestown.
Oh, okay. Like the massacre. No, Jonestown, different town.
And way earlier.
And before. So this is original Jonestown.
This is the original Jonestown.
Wow, so original that it was pronounced James back then.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
amazing.
You know how they say words
change over time.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting. Mm. Language.
Over the following months, they had several encounters with the native people. Some of those encounters were friendly. Others were hostile. A hunting
so
party.
So the friendly bit was the boy swap. Obviously.
The boy swap, that boy went pretty swap. Well.
Yeah. That always goes well. Yeah.
And then other times they were like.
I'm doing a boy swap in Edinburgh.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm swapping Tim for another boy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Let Tim spread his wings a little bit. Learn another language.
Yeah. Swapping. Tim comes home just full Scottish. His grandmother's Scottish, so he, you know, I need to immerse him.
But is she actually Scottish, or is that just something his family
just
says?
Said she was Scottish, and he just believed it. She was born there, but, you know, who knows?
Come on.
Could be a lie. He does have ginger hair.
Have you seen a birth certificate, though? Do we know she was born
there? Do you know what?
There?
I think we do have the birth certificate because we're trying to get the visa, but yes.
Oh, okay.
But it could be faked. It could be faked.
I wouldn't
but
put
I hope
that
it's
past
real.
Grandma.
I hope it's real because I want to get married specifically because I want him to wear a kilt. Like, I'm not interested in getting married or being a wife or having a wedding, but I want him to wear a kilt, so I'm happy to spend like 20 grand or whatever it is.
Okay.
To see him in a kilt.
Yeah.
Can we just get him a kilt?
Yes.
Would that be easier?
Yes,
the thing is
yes.
that kilts on their own cost $21,000.
That is so it, but for a wedding it comes in the package.
Yeah. It's one of those weird
comes
things.
In the package. Yeah,
right.
Castle. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good.
That's exciting.
It's so good, yeah.
There was a hunting party led by Powhatan's brother, captured Smith while he was out exploring near the Chickahominy River.
Okay.
Also, I meant to look up more of the pronunciations. I'm definitely butchering it, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
But go back a few episodes, listen to Matt speaking French, and I think you'll agree that at least I'm saying the letters. And he can't hear that he's not saying a word, but he's gesturing and making like a honking
there
sound.
There are some English noise, some English words that Matt says that he can't
That's
hear
true.
That he's not saying the
That's
word.
True. And we love him.
I say that with love.
And we wish him
and
well.
With a full awareness that he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, does it?
No.
He is. I just won't turn that microphone on.
He's swearing black and blue.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Get me in there.
So John Smith's captured by...
By the brother of...
Powhatan.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess Pocahontas' uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Writing about the encounter a few months later, Smith recalled a great feast followed by a long talk with Powhatan, presumably through the teenage interpreter Smith had handed over to strangers.
Do that boy.
Do that boy. He offered Smith rule of the town of Kapahosik.
That's so generous.
Yeah, which was close to his capital, and in Encyclopedia Virginia... Margaret Williamson Huber theorized that this decision from Powhatan was hoping to keep Smith and his men nearby and better under control.
That's smart.
Like keeping
treat
an
him,
eye on him.
Treat him nice. Keep him nice.
Yeah.
You know, that theory that more flies with honey.
Enemies close.
Enemies close. Glenn close.
Glenn close. Okay, we're getting there.
Yeah. That's quite, I mean, I was imagining when he's being captured, they're like, he's at risk of being killed or whatever, but they're like, he's having a nice feast.
Yeah.
He's being offered.
Having a chat.
A town.
Lovely.
A town. Yeah, captured. Yeah. I'd love to be captured.
But many years later in 1616, Smith wrote about this capture again, and in this new account, he included a detail he hadn't previously. So the writing a couple of months after the capture described a nice dinner and a chat, but years later he described a threat to his life.
What?
Okay, yeah. The chicken was off.
This is what he wrote. At the minute of my execution.
Sir, hang on.
You said they fed you and you had a chat and now they're executing
you. You mean executing the contract to take over this town that they've given you?
Feels like you're lying.
And this is where he mentions Pocahontas. He says, she hazarded the beating out of her own brains to save mine. And not only that, but so prevailed with her father that I was safely conducted to Jamestown. So essentially he said Pocahontas like saved him, like protected.
Oh, is that when the beating of the brain, do they interpret that as her putting her head on his as he's about to be clubbed?
That's right. And he expanded again in 1624, again years and years later. Two great stones were brought before Powhatan. Then as many as could lay hands on me dragged me to them, and thereon lay... Okay, hang on. Some of it's in weird tenses and I'm trying to change it as I go. I'm just going to read it as it's written. They dragged him to them and thereon laid his head, and being ready for their clubs to beat out his brains... Brains with an E-S at the end? Weird. Pocahontas, the king's dearest daughter, with no entreaty could prevail, got his head in her arms and laid her own upon his to save him from death. So, yeah.
She actually did that.
Yeah.
That fucking rules. She's nice. What a nice person.
Mm. But from Time magazine, he was brought before the great Powhatan, where he encountered men with clubs ready, he thought, to beat out his brains. Suddenly Pocahontas intervened and put her head on his. In his 1624 General History of Virginia, Smith wrote that she risked her own life to save his, but modern scholars think she was probably playing a scripted role in some kind of adoption ceremony. Afterwards, Powhatan called Smith his son.
So when you're adopting a child, you pretend almost to beat their head to death of the club.
Mm-hmm.
You get your other child to put their head on their head.
Yeah.
And then they're your son.
But see, because
that's how babies are born.
I've wondered a lot.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
I've been fucking.
No.
That's not it.
That's where you're going wrong.
Oh, that's yuck.
I know. Sorry.
That's really gross.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Ugh.
Sorry, guys.
Oh.
I was just joking. I haven't done it.
Ugh, oh, yuck.
But I haven't.
Don't.
No, I won't.
Yeah, never do that.
Sorry, guys.
Don't even joke
Dave's
about
never
that.
Done that.
Of course.
Yeah, I know.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Yuck. Yeah, so it's possible that it's just sort of a bit of a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. There's obviously a huge language barrier, even with their
even with the boy.
Even with the boy.
He's had to learn from scratch.
But he's barely been there that long. Like, you can't learn the nuances of a language.
Just by working it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Smith's kind of like, wow, she risked her life for me. And maybe
and she's like, I'm in a play.
Yeah.
I'm doing a little play. She's like, treading the boards.
She's also... You know, in the Disney film, she's late teens, like she's a young woman.
Mm.
In real life, at this stage, she's about 10 years old.
Okay.
She's a little girl.
Oh.
So she's just doing what, you know, probably, we assume, just what is part of that ritual, that ceremony.
Oh, no.
It's okay. There's nothing gross. Okay. She's just young.
Okay.
Nothing weird.
She's just young and talented. Great actor.
Beautiful actor. Very convincing.
Oh, yeah. Like
the love bit is made up.
Oh, it's made up.
It's okay.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, yeah, early historians did establish that Pocahontas befriended John Smith and other colonists. She was very young, but she would go and visit the settlement and play games with the young boys that were there as well. The colonists struggled a lot with food supplies at various times during their early settlement, and a few of them wrote about Pocahontas's visits when the colonists were starving. They wrote, every once in 4 or 5 days, Pocahontas, with her attendants, brought Smith so much provision that saved many of their lives that else for all this had starved with hunger. So essentially she would bring them food.
To save their lives.
Yeah.
Her like, tribe she's just a little is girl. Very accommodating, can I say?
They're so lovely.
Yeah.
And have this town, have this food.
Yeah. I don't know very much about what happened there. But, you know, just reflecting on what happened in our country, I feel like they were nicer than the British probably deserved. It's just a general thought.
Well, And some of the, you'll come. Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. They were nicer than the English deserved, and English were a bit shit.
Mm.
That's not a hot take. That's
not
just
a hot
history
take.
Has proven that a few times. Yeah,
it's just the history of it. But if you are a Brit, come to my show. Not you, just you, the old one. Just greats.
Yeah,
just them.
Just
and
them.
That, yeah, they were a product of their time.
Yeah, you know, it's different.
Different.
Just buy a ticket.
Just get a ticket, and
get
that
a ticket,
will
you'll absolve.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It'll be fine. In late 1609, John Smith was injured from a gunpowder explosion and returned to England for medical care. There's dot points that do kind of match up with the movie. The movie's sort of taking a lot of creative license.
I love that. Instead of taking a bullet for the chief, he had an accident.
Yeah. He had a whoopsie. and he had to return to England for medical care. The colonists apparently told the Powhatans that Smith was dead. I'm not sure if this was just a straight-up lie or a miscommunication. Again, big old language barrier.
The boys hadn't had very much time.
No, it's hard. And maybe the word for, like, just hurt, going to get medical care is very similar to dead.
Yeah.
He's going to the NHS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her know what that is.
A and E.
He needs some a stitches.
And E. Yeah. Do you guys have A and E?
Do you have Coronation Street?
Coronation.
I want to be on Coronation Street.
Okay, well, maybe stop saying such horrible things about the English.
I like the English now. I like them now.
Because they're not colonising things.
Yes, they're just staying put.
And stay in your lane.
Stay there. It's nice there. Going to France for the summer. Things like that. Things that's like that nice. Are fun. That's nice. That is nice.
I hope Europeans appreciate the fact that they can just pop to another country for a weekend.
I don't know if they do. Well, actually, my UK manager sent an email to my manager because my manager in Australia just got out of a holiday, and she was like, "Where do Australians go?" Do they often go to Bali, or do you sort of holiday around Australia? I've often wondered. That's really funny. That's not what so she sounds funny. Like, but
I've often wondered. I've often wondered. Where do the Australians sorry. Choose to vacation?
Julie Andrews is my UK management.
Wow.
What is your Ibiza?
Where do you go? But yeah, she was just like, where are you going? Like, but you're so far away from everything.
But there's also a lot of variety in Australia. Like, you can go from desert and rainforest and
beach.
Lots of beach everywhere. City. So it's easier to get variety and change holidaying in our own country. But also, Bali. Mostly Bali.
I've never been to Bali.
Oh, babe, you've got to.
You gotta go to Bali.
You gotta go to Bali.
Girlies. Let's get a villa
and a driver.
Let's get a villa and a driver. We're gonna go every day. We're gonna have a breakfast. It's gonna be cheap. It's gonna cost $10.
That's expensive.
Let me go.
Let's go. I'm like,
do you wanna go?
Let's go. We'll talk off pod. Let's go.
All right.
No one is looking at me when. Correct. No.
Yeah, correct. The girlies are getting a villa.
I just want a buffet breakfast. That's all I want in this life.
No. You can go to the RSL for that, mate. We are going to Bali.
Is that true? Can you get an RSL for a buffet breakfast?
Some of them.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Probably you might have to be a member, or like always got to sign in.
Yeah, I'll join
the RSL. You have to sign in.
Yeah, you got to sign in. Show your ID.
In for?
I don't know. I haven't spent enough time.
What are they
RSLs.
Doing with that information? You should do a pod ep on that.
You should
on
do a RSLs? Whole
investigative podcast on what are they doing with that information.
Yeah. Okay.
I reckon it's chemtrails.
Okay.
No offense.
Eva just sighed at you.
Yeah, she's had enough. I talked to her about chemtrails a lot. She's really quite tired of it.
That's Eva the dog. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yeah, we mentioned Eva's here. There. Okay, so they think John Smith is dead. Pocahontas stopped visiting the colonists, which some people also like because John Smith wasn't there. But that could have also been because of what happened to her next.
Oh.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So as the colonists expanded their settlement, the Powhatans felt that their lands were threatened and conflicts arose again in the summer of 1609. A few years later, in 1613, Captain Samuel Argall saw a weakness in the opposition and made contact with the Potawatomi tribe. They lived on the Potomac River and were not always particularly loyal to the paramount chief, Powhatan. and it just so happened that the interpreter, Henry Spellman, was living with that tribe at the time. Through Spellman, Argyll learned that Pocahontas, daughter of Powhatan, was staying in one of the Potawatomi villages under the protection of their leader, Iopasus. Argyll pressured Iopasus to assist in Pocahontas' capture by promising an allegiance with the colonists against the Powhatans.
Oh. So
he's like, you help us get the girl, then we help you against the big guy.
Oh.
Iopasus, with the help of his wives, tricked Pocahontas into boarding Argyll's ship. There she was held for ransom.
No!
Argyll demanded the release of colonial prisoners held by her father, as well as the return of any stolen weapons or tools that the Powhatans had acquired. And Powhatan, he did it. He returned the prisoners and the weapons and tools, but not enough weapons and tools.
Oh.
Okay.
There was a standoff.
Oh.
For a long time. They're like, no, you have more weapons and tools.
Oh, no.
Give them. So they have this standoff, a long one. Like a year.
And she's stuck there.
She's just sort
on
of.
On the boat?
I think, no, she's.
Living with the tribe, the new one.
She's living with, like, colonists. She's with the English.
Ah, fuck.
And you said the standoff is for a year.
Yeah, about that. Like, probably longer.
We can wait.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. And the Powhatans are like, we've given you the prisoners, we've given you the weapons. Like, what more do you want? They're like, all the weapons.
Oh, my God.
All the weapons you have, give them. So all the while, the colonists are keeping Pocahontas captive. Not much is known about her life in this captivity, I guess. Colonists wrote that she was well looked after, while Native American oral history claims she was abused. There's an anthropologist and historian, Helen Rowntree, she's like, has written a lot about this time in Virginia and also Pocahontas, and said that other historians have disputed that such oral traditions survived and instead argue that any mistreatment of Pocahontas would have gone against the interests of the English in their negotiations with Powhatan. A truce had been called, the Indians still far outnumbered the English, and the colonists feared retaliation. So she's like, it was in their best interest to look after her.
Yeah, but then there's individuals acting in amongst the. I just don't. I don't reckon it was good for her.
No, I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that during her time with the colonists, a Christian minister helped her improve her English and taught her about Christianity.
Girlies in the boy swap.
And then she was baptized into Christianity.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm sure was 100% her choice.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what? I think I want in. And he was like, oh, no. Are you sure?
Are you sure? And she was like, yeah. Like,
really?
Wet me up, priest. Let's go.
And she took her new Christian name, Rebecca.
What? What are now you talking about?
She's Rebecca. Why didn't they call the movie Rebecca?
I agree. Beautiful name. So she's Rebecca now. I'm just going to call her Pocahontas, but.
She's I'm going to call her Beck. Becky.
Becky. That's nice. Hostilities between the two groups escalated, and in March of 1614, a violent battle broke out. When Powhatan arrived, colonists allowed Pocahontas to speak with her father, who she hadn't seen for ages, and she apparently criticised her father for valuing her less than some old swords.
Fair.
Yeah, okay.
She was like,
you'll swap a full boy, but yeah, you won't
give over some more weapons to release me. So she said she preferred to stay with the colonists who loved her.
Oh.
Okay. Becky, weird choice.
It feels a little brainwashy, but.
It does feel culty, doesn't it?
It does feel culty, a little bit Stockholm syndrome-y. I don't know. But so she's like, no, fuck you, Dad.
Yeah, maybe, listen, fair. Who knows? Maybe she had psoriasis, they had the cream.
Yeah. If I had psoriasis, I'd stay with the cream.
I would always stay with the cream.
That's good life advice, actually. Stay with the cream.
Stay with the cream. Listen, first you get the money, then you get the girls, then you get the cream.
Yeah. That's the order, and it works every time.
Money girls cream. Moneygirlscream at gmail.com. Don't take it. I'm taking it. Email me. Moneygirlscream at gmail.
Now, remember Kokuom from the Disney movie, the boring warrior who her father wanted her to marry, but she was like, I'm a free spirit, and he's serious.
He's boring. He's like a maths guy.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm really more of an art girl.
Yeah. She loves books.
He's like, I love to express myself through numbers. And she's like, ugh.
I like stories.
I like stories and pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's me and Tim.
He likes maths.
He likes maths. And I hate maths. I know, I don't. I just don't understand maths. And that's an important narrative to reinforce. I just need a different way into mathematics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
It's not that it's not for me.
Yeah.
It's just I need a different way.
And maybe it was taught in a way that just wasn't
right for me.
Wasn't right for you.
And I also hate it.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit.
And also
boring.
All my maths teachers made me feel like I was a dumb shit for not getting it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, I'm actively trying.
Yeah.
And you're snarling at me.
School in the 2000s was good for everyone.
I loved it.
I think they were good and perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody did a good job.
Yeah.
There's so many incredible teachers, and then there's just some absolute fucking duds.
Yeah. You know? I think also their hands are so tied by the system, it seems, these days, that they can't even, like, step left of the program for a certain student who might need extra help or different help or whatever. It feels like they have no autonomy at all
now. Yeah, yeah, just for information to be presented in a different way.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I can see what you need, but my hands are tied.
I'm sure I've spoken about this at some point, but I remember having a science teacher, and I just didn't understand something. And I went up to her desk. We're like working away on stuff in our classroom. And I went up to her desk and I was like, I'm sorry, I just don't really understand this particular part. Can you explain that again to me? Or like, can you help me? And she just stared at me.
Oh, that's
for ages.
So
it's sort
mean.
Of like a way of like, you figure, come on, you figure it out.
Oh
and
my
so
God.
Eventually I just went, oh, okay, I get it now. Thank you. And I went and sat down and I was like, I still have no idea.
In science, I used to, whenever they tried to teach me something, I didn't want to know because it would ruin the magic. So, like, you know how, like, rainbows. You know how rainbows are made? How, like, there's, like, refracts.
Yeah.
I don't care. How they're made. Yeah. It's very beautiful. Eva, have some respect. Sorry,
she's the rainbow.
Having a scratch.
She's having a scratch and she's like,
she doesn't
jingling
know.
Her bell.
She just
full
doesn't
rainbows.
Want to hear. Yeah, she loves it. But I, when they tried to teach us about rainbows, I would pretend to faint.
That's funny.
So I was like, I don't want to know. And they were like, you have to know. And I was like, well, I feel sick. But I fall down. And they're like, oh, she's doing it again. I was so annoying.
What a nightmare.
I was an absolute nightmare. And then years later, my science teacher came to one of my shows. I went back to Wagga to do a show and he came to it and he said, you're my favorite student, but I could never tell you because you were so naughty. But I used to like go home and say, you'll never guess what she's done today.
We were talking about rainbows. She pretended to pass out. His partner's like, she sounds hilarious, this kid.
Tested for great things.
And we've gotten onto this topic by saying that Kokuam is a maths guy. Yeah. That's how we got here. So do you remember Kokuam? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
The maths guy.
The maths guy, he's the...
She was meant to marry him.
Yes.
That's right. Well, the Mattaponi history says that Kokuam was Pocahontas's first husband.
Oh.
And that he was killed by colonists after her capture in 1613.
Oh, my God.
Today's Potawatomis believe that Pocahontas and Kokuam also had a daughter named Kaoki, who was raised by the Potawatomis after her father's death and her mother's abduction. However, Kokuam's identity, location, very existence have been widely debated amongst scholars for centuries.
Wow.
From Wikipedia, it says, Wikipedia's, it's a website. I, from my understanding, it's basically just like, about Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like the real events around,
like,
Disney movies.
Well, Disney, Wikipedia.
That's right. Yeah, I guess that's what the wiki's for. Yeah. So anyway, from wiki, it says, the only mention of a Kokuam in any English document is a brief statement written around 1616 by William Strachey that Pocahontas had been living married to a private captain called Kokuam for 2 years. So that was written in 1616.
That's all.
But Pocahontas married an English man named John Rolfe in 1614. So some people think he must have just been referring to him. Again, maybe a bit of a breakdown.
Yeah.
But also, that's saying it's the only mention of Kokuam in English.
Right.
But there's a long oral tradition, oral history from the Native Americans. So maybe he existed, maybe he didn't. Maybe she had a daughter, maybe she didn't.
That's a mystery episode.
I don't know why they don't just ask my auntie. She seems to know everything.
She knows.
She knows.
So I mentioned John Rolfe.
Yeah, who the hell is John Rolfe?
Well,
John Rolfio from Parks and Rec?
Yes, John Rolfio.
That's who I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. During her stay at Henricus, which was like where the colonists were keeping her, Pocahontas.
During her stay.
During her stay. During her time there, she met John Rolfe. This is from Wiki again. Rolf's English-born wife, Sarah Hacker, and child, Bermuda.
What? Hang on a second.
I'm into that.
But Bermuda. Wait. This sentence gets more baffling. They had died on the way to Virginia after the wreck of the ship Sea Venture on the Summer Isles, now known as Bermuda.
What?
And also part of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my gosh.
But I was like, somebody's fucking with this Wikipedia page. I go to his Wikipedia page and under children it's listed as Bermuda. Bermuda what? Rolf.
Who died in the Bermuda Triangle.
Which is now named Bermuda.
Is it named after this child?
I don't know.
Fuck.
Isn't that weird?
That's wild. That's a side quest I'd like to go on.
Yeah, let's.
yeah, dig in. Where does the name Bermuda come from?
Yeah. British Overseas Territory. I wonder if like the word means something. God, if somebody knows this, they are screaming.
Well, don't worry. We're looking it up.
Should I sing?
Probably.
How?
Oh, I found it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. Please keep singing.
How can sycamore grow? Keep you talk.
If you cut it down, then you'll never know.
And you'll never hear the wolf cry. Why aren't you speaking?
Because you sing much louder than I talk.
Can you speak, please?
Bermuda. I'll back off. Bermuda is named after the Spanish sailor Juan de Bermudez, who discovered the islands in 1505. While sailing for Spain from a provisioning voyage to Hispaniola in the ship La Garza.
Huh. Eva just grunted.
Wow,
I didn't listen
to
what you were saying. I was singing.
So it's named after a Spanish navigator called Juan de Bermudez, who had been the first, I guess, European person to discover
it. So probably a coincidence that his child's name was Bermuda. And,
that's amazing.
And they died on the Summer Isles, which are now known as Bermuda.
Bermuda. Mm-hmm. 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 Bermuda. Mm-hmm.
Bermuda. Anyway.
Good fun.
So this man's lost his wife and child.
Oh, good fun.
Oh, my fun. God.
He established the...
So sorry. Sorry for the singing.
He established the Virginia plantation Verena Farms, where he cultivated a new strain of tobacco.
A plantation. That's always good.
Always
for
fun.
For American history.
Yeah, love that. Rolf was a pious man and agonized over the potential moral repercussions of marrying a heathen.
Okay.
Oh,
though
cool.
Though, in fact, Pocahontas had accepted Christian faith.
She got wet. She got wet up by the priest.
She got wet up.
Sir?
She's fine.
Fucking judgmental... Fucking fuck you, man. I'm sorry about your wife and your daughter,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you were that good.
No, none of them were they?
I remember all of them.
In a long letter to the governor requesting permission to wed Pocahontas, he expressed his love for her and his belief that he would be saving her soul.
Okay. Tim wrote one a letter like that to my
to mom. The governor.
My mum, the governor.
He calls your mum the governor.
Yeah, she asks for it.
All right, governor.
Hello, governor.
Governor.
And he wrote a long letter being like, no, I can fix her.
Yes.
That's
mum
nice.
Was like, thank God.
I'll teach her to wipe.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, all that stuff. All that stuff. I'll make her stop singing. He's still working on it.
Yeah. She's definitely singing less.
Less. Yeah. I used to sing myself to sleep. God, I was a fucking nightmare of a child. Just sing until I fell asleep.
Until you passed out.
Lungs. Yeah.
Top of your lungs.
Top of my fucking lungs.
Yes, you're keeping yourself awake.
Yeah. But they let me. So all of this is their fault.
Yeah.
Everything that's happened, my unbridled confidence is because they never said, shut the fuck
were
up.
Were you freestyling or singing songs that exist?
No, I was always just making up songs.
That is even better.
I was
better.
Like lying in bed being like, Tuesday. Gonna get up and have a breakfast. And they were like sitting in the lounge room watching Sex and the City being like, that fucking child.
And now Tim says that.
Yes.
Please stop singing yourself to sleep.
Yes.
Tuesday.
I do often do it to Tim. Where he's trying to sleep. I sing a little song. I sing a little song called I'm Just a Little Girl.
I sing that one. There were two in the bed. But I changed it. Okay, there were two in the bed and the little one said, give me your money. That's my lullaby.
And he's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Good night.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
Sleep time. Anyway, so he's written to the governor, and this is what he wrote. Motivated not by the unbridled desire of carnal affection.
But motivated not by the unbridled desire of carnal affection.
I am certainly not attracted to her.
I'm not just horny. But for the good of this plantation, for the honour of our country, for the glory of God, for my own salvation, namely Pocahontas, to whom my hearty and best thoughts are, and have been a long time so entangled and enthralled and so intricately labyrinth that I was even awearied to unwind myself thereout.
That is stunning.
I'm not just horny. I'm not just horny. I quite like her.
She's beautiful. She's a labyrinth.
She's a labyrinth and I'm stuck in it.
I'm lost. I can't get out.
Where's the end of this maze?
Where's the end? Can't get out.
I don't know.
I don't want to know. I love her. I'm not horny. Don't look at me that way. I'm not horny.
I probably won't even try to have sex with her.
I probably won't even try.
I love her so much.
Yeah, I love her heaps. I'm not going to put my head on her head. I will not put my head on her head to have babies. I will not.
That's how babies are made. So the two were married in April of 1614, and although her father gifted them land on the James River, they opted to live at Verena Farms, the plantation that Rolf owned.
Beautiful.
They had a son named Thomas, who was born in 1615, and the marriage created a climate of peace between the Jamestown colonists and the Powhatan's tribes. It endured for 8 years and it was known as the Peace of Pocahontas. So their union kind of made everybody chill out a little bit.
My auntie did say something about a man called Thomas. I wonder if this...
Oh, shit, yeah.
I wonder if I'm related to this awful man that I've just been backing out for a long time.
That's a super...
He's a very distant relative.
But it's such a rare name, Thomas. So no one's called to be the same Thomas. Person.
Yeah, I've
it's probably him.
But Thomas is the son of John Rolf, so he's probably not bad.
I'm sure he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
In 1615, Ralph Hammer wrote, "Since the wedding we have had... friendly commerce and trade, not only with Powhatan, but also with his subjects round about us." So everybody's kind of getting along. They're being civil.
Mm.
Right.
The marriage, however, was controversial in the British court at the time because a commoner had the audacity to marry a princess, even though Pocahontas is not a princess.
What?
Well, and I talk about this later.
Oh.
The English, they kind of saw. In fact, you know what? I've got it written down. I'll just get to it when I get to it.
Okay, you get to it when you get to it.
I was going to try and paraphrase something I've written down.
No, don't.
I'm just going to read it.
Were you going to reference yourself, though? As Jess Perkins said
earlier on. The Peace of Pocahontas had ripple effects as well, though. The London Company, they're the ones who had sent the colonists out, had a goal of converting Native Americans to Christianity, which we know they'd done with Pocahontas. And her conversion, paired with the way that her marriage to Rolf had helped end conflict between the colonists and the Powhatans, gave the company a great idea. They decided to bring Pocahontas to England as a symbol of the tamed New World savage.
Oh, fucking hell.
And the success of the Virginia colony.
Christ.
Oh, dear.
Isn't that gross?
Oh, no.
They're like, look at this one. We tamed her.
Yuck.
Yuck. Incredibly yuck. And I'd love to remind you again, the Patreons voted for this topic.
Yeah, we didn't. No one picked this.
No, but it is so interesting. But it's also
It's good that people know the story. People who've just like seen Pocahontas.
Yeah,
and like you know, if you're especially Australian, you probably have no idea about the true story.
Yeah, but it is gross. But it's 400 years ago. Nearly everything from that long ago feels gross now.
That's true.
So they were accompanied by 11 other Powhatans, and I'm not entirely sure what their purpose was, but hopefully it wasn't so they could also just be shown off.
Mm.
But possibly. Mm. Only once she arrived in England did Pocahontas find out that John Smith was not, in fact, dead.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh, she just runs into him in Times Square or something.
There's a lot of Times Square in England. Yeah.
There's so many John
Smiths. I was imagining New York for some reason.
Times Square.
Sorry, in front of Buckingham Palace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where everyone hangs out.
Yeah.
Like,
how awkward. I thought you were dead.
I was just here to see the lights and the signs and stuff.
The guys in the big hats.
Yeah.
I love those big hats.
I love them. I mentioned earlier a letter that John Smith wrote, and that was to Queen Anne, and he urged her to treat Pocahontas with respect, suggesting if she were treated badly, her present love to us and Christianity might turn to scorn and fury, and England might lose the chance to rightly have a kingdom by her means. So Pocahontas is not a princess in Powhatan culture, but the London Company presented her as one to the English public because she was the daughter of an important chief.
Mm.
And many English at the time recognized Powhatan as the ruler of an empire and presumably referred to his daughter with what they considered an appropriate status. They're like, well, if he's a king,
yeah, they just see it through their own cultural lens.
But that's simply not true. She had, so they're sucking up to her a bit, trying to win her over so they can essentially fully take over her people. But in reality, she has no control on that at all.
Yeah, wow.
She's sort of, she's not an heir to any kind of powerful position or title or anything like that. She's just a beloved daughter of the chief.
But they only know one societal structure. They're exactly. Like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
This is how it works here.
She's
got to
be the next in line.
I'm sure it's exactly the same.
Yeah, that's right.
When in actual fact, it was more like once something happened to her father, I think it was more like his brothers would, or and then his, their kids or whatever.
Yeah, right.
It, was, like, it wasn't her.
You're the prince. You're next in line. Where are your crown jewels?
Yeah.
Put them on.
So that was just kind of the English, you're right, seeing it through their own cultural lens, the only kind of power structure they know.
Yeah.
They're like, well,
you can see
princess.
Why you'd think that. Yeah, I get it.
They're not bright. Anyway, so she's entertained at a bunch of swanky London events and social gatherings.
Wow.
Apparently she like met the king at one point and after, but she didn't realize he was the king. Only later somebody, she was like, where's the king I'm supposed to meet? And they're like, oh, that was him. And she's like, oh.
That guy?
That guy?
That's your king?
Okay.
He smelled bad.
Yeah. But yeah, not all of the English were so impressed. Helen Rowntree, that historian, claims that there is no simultaneous evidence to suggest that Pocahontas was regarded in England as anything like royalty despite the writings of John Smith. Rather, she was considered to be something of a curiosity, according to Rowntree, who suggested that she was merely the Virginian woman to most English people. They were just like, yeah, whatever. Like she was kind of like a spectacle or a novelty.
Okay.
But not, yeah. So some were kind of like, wow, she's seen as so powerful, a princess, and others are just like, she's just a woman from
lady.
Virginia. Yeah.
And most of the peasants are just slopping around in the mud anyway. Yeah. I don't fucking know who that is. Yeah. What are you talking about?
That Virginia lady. Yeah. Oh, lovely. All I want. You know, like that.
Like that.
They sing.
That's how you get into the English accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Little people know. I got it. I've got it.
Done.
I'm in.
We're in. It's that easy. Pocahontas and Rolf, they stayed in England for a little while, living in the suburb of Brentford in Middlesex for some time, as well as at Rolf's family home in Norfolk. At a social gathering in early 1617, Rolf and Pocahontas ran into none other than John Smith.
Toot toot.
Oh,
at a party. So embarrassing seeing your ex at a party. Oh,
my God.
It's not her ex
this
at all.
This feels real like the rom-com-y type bit, and they didn't put any of this
in
the
Pocahontas
movie.
Yeah, they should have done this in the movie. This is good fun.
Well, there's a second Pocahontas.
Is there?
Really?
Is that when she goes to? That might be when she goes.
I think that's Return of Jafar.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
but you're thinking Return it's like, of Jafar, like Pocahontas in the big city or something like that.
Pocahontas 2: Journey to a New World.
Pocahontas
came out in 1998.
And just like that.
I had no idea there was a part two. So there you go. So maybe they do cover this.
Pocahontas 2. It's called Journey to a New World.
That sounds like she's probably going over there.
John Smith is ambushed by a group of soldiers with a warrant for his arrest. Where's Pocahontas come in? In the New World. Wait. Okay. Chief Powhatan to England for negotiations. Pocahontas, Powhatan's daughter, mourns John Smith's death, but is eventually able to move on. So he dies.
Oh, my God.
Different story.
Wait.
You look upset.
Well, because I
can't.
Should
we watch it?
I can't speed read this
Let's
fast
pause
enough.
And watch it.
It seems like she does, in fact, go to England. So there you go. They do kind of cover it in the sequel.
Right.
So, yeah, they run into John Smith. But it's a little anticlimactic. Smith later wrote that when Pocahontas saw him, without any words, she turned about, obscured her face as not seeming well contented. So I think she was like trying to hide that she was happy to see him, but that's from his perspective.
She sounds like she blanked him.
Yeah, she sounds like she's like, oh, okay.
Hey.
And then he didn't really chat to her for a while, and then he chatted to her later on. And his record of what they spoke about, it's very fragmented, it's quite vague. Finally, apparently, Pocahontas told Smith that she and her tribe had thought him dead, but her father had told Tomokomo, one of the Powhatans who was traveling with her, to seek him. And I quote, because your countrymen will lie much. He's like, you guys are full of shit. Yeah. So we kind of assumed you were probably alive. Dad was like, look out for him because he's probably alive. Bit of a burn there. By March of 1617, it was time to go home to Virginia. They boarded a ship, but they hadn't even made it very far before Pocahontas became quite ill. She was taken ashore for medical care, but died shortly after from unknown causes.
Oh, no.
She was around 20 or 21 years old.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Just a baby?
Yeah.
Wow.
So young. A few causes have been speculated, like pneumonia, smallpox, tuberculosis, dysentery, or poisoning.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
But it's probably just one of those
diseases that
especially coming introduced. From, like, you go. She's in a completely different, like, country. Not
different
exposed
diseases,
to
different
those,
weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And back then, they just all got sick all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the true cause of her death is unknown. Baby Thomas was also sickly, and John left him to be brought up by his brother in Norfolk for fear he wouldn't survive their voyage home.
Do you have family in Norfolk?
I don't think I've actually got any real English. We're Irish and Spanish.
Mm.
Okay.
But maybe there's some English. I don't know. There's some mysteries.
It's exciting.
I could have family in Norfolk. And if I do, it's him.
Yep, 100%.
Thomas.
Yeah.
So he left Thomas there because he's like, he's not going to make it. But John was sort of, he had a lot of pressure to return to Virginia. So he went home and he appointed Sir Lewis Stuckley as guardian to his son. And he went back to Virginia.
Mm.
The plan was that Thomas would return to Virginia once he recovered his health. But John Rolfe never saw his son again.
Oh.
Thomas did recover, but he remained in England until he was an adult.
Oh, wow. Okay. He just never sent
just
for
left
him.
His kid there. Apparently John Rolfe married a third time and had another kid.
And he's like, I swear I'm not horny.
She's a labyrinth.
My wives keep dying.
Yeah, I can't do anything about it.
It's the weirdest
it's
thing.
Crazy.
Anyway, Elizabeth, you want to get hitched? If I was being proposed to by somebody whose past two wives had died, I'd be like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that you're involved, but like
still it's just unlucky.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx myself.
Mm. No.
Anyway, so Pocahontas' funeral took place in March of 1617 in the parish of St. George's Church in Gravesend, and her grave is thought to be underneath the church's chancel, like near the altar, though that church was destroyed in a fire in 1727, so the exact site of her grave is unknown now.
Oh, we've never found it.
Haven't found it. Just for in the sense of her legacy, numerous places, landmarks, products in the United States have been named after Pocahontas, and obviously her story has been romanticized over the years. She's the subject of art and literature and theater and film, which is incredible for the daughter of a chief of this Native American tribe who only lived to 20.
Yeah.
But just to have
an
such
incredible
a
story. Yeah.
To be so memorable. I don't know. It's so interesting.
Are there any like plays or films made by people from where she's from, like from her tribe or descendants of her, or like
I think
people
so.
Have more? I'm going to look into this. I'm
yeah.
Find some more resources.
Most recently,
her.
There was a movie called A New World in like 2005. It has like Colin Farrell in it. And I don't know. It just looks like a gritty kind of drama. but yeah, I would think so yeah. for sure. But yeah, she's a subject of a lot of books and writings and plays and movies and everything. Since 1958, she's been commemorated by a life-size bronze statue in St. George's Churchyard, which is a replica of one that was made in 1907. She was the first Native American to be honored on a U.S. stamp. That was in 1907.
Wow.
So again, like this is hundreds of years after she died at the age of 20, 21.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she's still such a memorable and important part of history. It's so interesting. And a little fun fact, Pocahontas is the 12th great-grandmother of American actor Edward Norton. So
wow.
you could be related to Edward Norton.
Are you related to Edward Norton?
My auntie hasn't said.
Well, there is like a long lineage, especially from her son Thomas. Because he had quite a few kids and then they had quite a few kids. So there definitely is a long lineage. Lots of people have connections to him, including one of the people who suggested this topic.
Oh, cool.
Edward Norton?
Hazel, who texted in, said they were a descendant of Pocahontas. I think I don't have it written down. I think it was like 6 times great grandmother.
Maybe Hazel and I are related.
12 times or something.
Hazel, where do you live? Oh, you're not live.
Hazel? Hazel!
Where do you live?
Yeah, so there you go. That is the story of the real Pocahontas. I do just have like this quote at the end that I quite liked, and they refer to her as Madaoka. And they say, Madaoka's story was not one of romance between a native woman and a white man. It was a tragic story of a girl who played the role as peacekeeper and became caught in the economic and political webs of settlers and natives in early colonial American history. It's just so interesting that such a short life has had such a lasting impact, and she's such a notable sort of character in this whole time in American history.
It's really everyone's heard of her. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Disney definitely helped, for sure.
I know, but why do you think that they made her husband or partner John Smith and not the other John? Why would they do that?
Well, it seems like John Rolfe comes up in Pocahontas 2.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's probably just that that idea that she
saved his life.
Saved his life, put her head on his.
And they went, oh, it's easy just to make them a thing.
And that they'd had a friendship. And back then, I mean, this is the 90s. Of Disney. They were all romance stories.
Yeah.
There was always, you know.
It's such a shame it's not her real name that she's known by. Yeah. That's really sad.
But it's like an affectionate nickname, which I guess like is kind of nice.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, like gibbet. If you were in 400 years, people would just refer to you simply as Bop.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Like her name wasn't even that. It was actually a reference to the Big Bopper. In like episode 10 of a podcast she did for a very long time.
A podcast is.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Okay, Big Bopper died in a plane crash. A plane is. yeah, maybe I'll watch Pocahontas 2, but I'm seeing the name John Rolfe come up. So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, I think it must just be that there needed to be some sort of romantic angle, as there always was at that time. I guess. At least this one was different in a way that they didn't ride off into the sunset together.
Mm.
She was like, I got to stay with my people. And he's like, okay. And that was that.
Mm.
That's a nice point of difference for 90s Disney.
Yeah.
Because previously it was we ride off together on a white horse.
Yeah, he would like save her and take her to England because that's the good place.
That's the good one. They kind of flipped that with Tarzan where Jane stayed with him.
Oh, I love Tarzan.
It's so
George of the Jungle. Not Tarzan, but George the Jungle is one of the best films in the entire world.
Yep.
When he says, George, just lucky, I guess.
Oh.
That's the best moment in cinematic history.
Yep. Agreed.
So important.
Agreed.
So important.
I think the scene where he's trying on a suit and he like winks at the camera is probably the second best.
That's the second best in cinematic history.
George looked good.
It's a great movie.
But yeah, there you go. That's the real story of Pocahontas.
There you go. I did not know anything about her real life.
Mm.
Mm.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Now you do. And look, there's so much writing on it, lots of documentaries, lots of stuff. I've kind of given you like a basic overview.
Mm.
But it's interesting the parts of the Disney movie that are kind of, you know, similar to real life.
Yes, I'm glad you gave us that recap at the start because I wouldn't have noticed the similarities otherwise. But yes, now I'm like, huh.
Yeah, it's really helpful.
That wasn't me just padding for word count. There was a point to it.
It was beautiful.
So yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great report, Jess, on someone we've all heard of, but probably a lot of us didn't know that much about, really.
Yeah.
I'm very much in that camp.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to, it is great to get those suggestions of topics like that where it's kind of a name you know, but you don't know really anything about the real story.
Yes, when you think about it, you go, oh, actually.
Yeah. So if that's reminded you of other topics that are like that, chuck them in the hat. There's a link in the show notes. There's a link on our website. Anybody can make a suggestion. We love to hear about them.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And we'd also love to hear how we can see your show, Michelle, in Edinburgh, that you're doing right now.
Wow. Wowee. It's at Gilded Balloon. It's called Reform. And I think it's at 7 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. It's around 7-ish.
Great. It's a great time.
Gilded Balloon, TV at Bristow Square. Just come along. Tickets are what, like £10, £12 max?
Just
come along. If you can't get a comp for the night, it's a nice and early show. Get your train up, watch the shows, and then go home. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
But do book ahead if you're coming because last year we did sell out, genuinely. So maybe do just book ahead.
Just check.
Right
just
now.
Check. Just check. Check right now. Just check.
Turn off the podcast and go get your tickets.
Yeah.
Please come. It's a cost of living crisis. It cost me so much money to come.
Well, Michelle, thanks so much for joining us. An absolute pleasure as always.
Thank you.
And Jess and I will move on to everyone's favourite section of the show, which I think has a little jingle that goes a little something like this.
Fact, quote, or question.
Lovely harmony there. So good that Michelle, it hurt her ears as a trained singer and she had to leave.
And fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yes, this is a part where people who support us at Do Go On Pod, no, at Patreon/Do Go On Pod on the Sydney Scheinberg Deluxe level get to submit a fact, a quote, a question, a brag, suggestion, a challenge, a recipe. It can be anything you want it to be, any piece of information you want us to know.
Absolutely. And these people support us on Patreon. We can get bonus episodes, join the Facebook group, lovely place, hear about shows before anyone else that we're doing live and get discounts on tickets. And most of all, keep us humming.
Yeah, that's right. That's the most important part.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We couldn't do it without these people.
No.
So we dedicate this next little part of the show to them. And like you said, on the fact, quote, a question level, Jess, people give themselves a little title.
Yep.
And do you want me to read them out this week?
Yeah, go on.
Give you a give little me a break. So usually this is Matt.
I've been talking all day.
Yes, exactly. You did the whole bloody episode. This is usually Matt's domain.
Yeah, it's the one thing he does. And
and he's very, very good at it.
Yeah, and we're also pretty good at it. It's like, it's not hard.
Okay, well, let's find out. And like Matt, in true Matt style, I don't read these until I read them. Mm-hmm. Meaning that there's no proofreading here. There's no fact checking. I'm just going straight from the page. So bear with me as I first up say hello to Henry T. Wilhoit.
Henry T. Wilhoit.
Fantastic. And Henry's given themselves a title, Official Hazelnut Farmer.
Oh, thank goodness. That was a position we really needed to fill.
Yes.
So I'm happy to have you on board, Henry.
Great to have you in. And Henry is kicking things off this week with a fact.
Okay.
And it looks like it's a hazelnut fact.
That is so fitting.
So I trust this.
That is Henry so fitting. My life.
It says, the skin of the hazelnut is often considered an undesirable part of the nut because of its bitter taste and unpleasant texture. Honestly, that feels like
a pretty good reason for it to not be that popular.
A bit of a death sentence for it.
Yep.
But they are still useful! Exclamation mark. Due to their ability to not impart a static charge, they are often used to polish machine and electrical parts that are bound for space. Because there is no grounding point in space, any electrical static charge brought from Earth stays with the equipment and can damage the precise instruments on board.
What?
Wow, there you go. So, using the skin of the hazelnut, it polishes it and gets them ready for space.
Do you know what the tagline should be then in an advertising campaign? Hazelnut. An astronaut's favorite nut. You know? Like, just, good. I would lean really hard into that.
You got to get, like, Buzz Aldrin or something in the commercials.
Yeah, and he'd be up for
it. When I go to space, I use hazelnuts.
And everyone's like, the fuck?
The hell? The fuck?
Do you think that would work if you were to spread Nutella all over it as
Absolutely.
Well?
If you look closely at their dashboards, they're covered in Nutella.
They can't read shit.
It's a nightmare up there. Thanks, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
Great fact.
Great
Keep farming those hazelnuts. Mm. Next up, I would like to say hello to Peter Atkin.
Hello, Peter Atkin.
Whose title is Master of Repeating Bill Bryson Facts Learnt from Matt.
I hate that Bill Bryson.
That's great. Matt says like a fact that he half remembers from Bill Bryson on the show, and then you half remember it and tell other people at dinner parties. That's so good. That is getting out of hand really quickly, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
And then they're probably telling people. Peter's given us a brag, which we encourage.
Yes, love a brag. Lay it on us.
Here we go. Hey, guys. Hope you're all having a fantastic time podcasting on your bunk beds.
That's right. We are.
Absolutely. It's a three stacker. I have a brag based off my last submission in which I asked your New Year's resolutions.
Oh.
Mine was to watch 100 movies and read 25 books. And I'm far too proud and slightly concerned to report that I've managed 141 movies.
What?
And 28 books as of the 20th of June. That's not even halfway through the year, mate.
28 books in 6 months. 28, I'm doing, that's four books, that's a book a week, essentially.
Yeah, I think he's ahead of pace even for a book a week,
which is wild to think. Slightly ahead.
My top recommendation so far would be 310 to Yuma and Children of Men for films. And The Blade Itself or Wind in the Willows for books.
Nice.
That's nice. I hope you guys are all enjoying 2023 so far. And congrats to Dave for continuing the French lessons. That's right. I've just finished term two.
Mm.
Beginner two.
So proud of
you. Done. Love from across the from multiple ponds, Peter.
That is amazing, Peter. What a great achievement. Although I don't know how many movies or I've watched a lot of sitcoms, a lot of TV shows. You know, you can. I have been trying to read the same book for a couple of months now, so that's really impressive.
Great. It's persistence.
It's persistent. It's also the book that my partner wrote. And I am.
you're proofreading.
But it's also, I'm reading it in bed. He's next to me. It feels weird reading next to the author.
Right. Does he look over your shoulder?
Every time I laugh, he's like, what?
What was that
what
bit?
Part? What's funny?
that's really good. We've got a PS from Peter. Shout out my partner, Keris.
Keris!
It's Welsh, lol, because it's spelled C-E-R-Y-S, but he's written... pronounced K-E-R-S, Keris, who has graduated from medical school and starts life as a doctor soon. Congratulations, Keris.
That's huge.
That is awesome stuff. Dr. Keris.
You guys
Keris.
Are both crushing it.
Yeah.
Peter's reading up a storm. Keris is out there saving lives.
Great. But the thing about Peter is you're halfway now in the year.
Yeah.
Are you just going to, because you've done your resolution, keep it trucking and smash it? Or will you just take the foot off the gas and be like, I've already done it?
I would slow right down probably.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm pretty lazy. So I don't set resolutions like that because I'll never do them. Ever.
All right. Thanks, Peter. And next up, big shout out to our friend and yours, Ben Johnson, who's given themselves the title of, and there is a link to an IMDb page.
Okay.
And I'll be opening this up. Here we go. Have not read this yet.
This is Ben's title.
It is Ben Johnson, a 2005 movie with an IMDb rating of 5.4 out of 10. Was that from the page itself? If you heard that at home, that was some music going off, I think from the IMDb page.
Wow.
And let me read you the plot for Ben Johnson. This could be a good one for Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Son of a notorious criminal becomes a police officer to erase the bad image of his father, but things are not as easy as he seems.
Oh.
There you go, directed by Anil C. Menon. It's definitely not in English on the poster. There you go. Good one, Ben Johnson. I wonder if you've actually watched it. Let us know. Did you review your own movie? And Ben has written in a quote. And it says, okay, this is a quote from the late, great Kenneth Williams. So I need you to get into character. Do you know who Kenneth Williams is?
No.
I'm Googling. Here we go. Kenneth Williams. All right. Welsh actor. Okay. Fuck. I'm assuming you've seen the Carry On films. So your key line is, ooh, matron.
Oh, Ben has set you up beautifully here.
Oh, have you seen the Carry? I have not seen the Carry On
no,
film.
I haven't.
I'm so sorry. Kenneth Williams, fantastic.
I can just have
now
a go.
Now for the quote. I can't stand innuendo. If I see one in the script, I whip it out immediately. Quote, Kenneth Williams. Ooh, matron. I'm sorry, Ben.
Oh, I loved that. Good job, Ben.
That is good stuff. And finally, I would like to thank shout out to Daniel Headley, whose nickname is Aussie Music Head.
Oh, my God.
Good stuff. And we've got a suggestion. This is good. We've had a fact, a brag, a quote, and a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
This is, with the suggestion of bands, I thought I'd jump in.
Great.
Well, you are the Aussie Music Head.
Yeah.
My mate always puts me on the door when his band is playing, so I thought it'd be time to pay him back with a shout out. Sophisticated Dingo.
Oh, yeah.
Is a garage rock punkish duo from Melbourne, and they're fucking sick. Particular shout out for the songs Radio On and Morning View. Jess might know them because they're in rotation on Triple J and they tour with other Aussie rock acts like the Terries, Betty Rays, and Press Club.
Yeah.
Cheers and Uru.
That's awesome.
That's great. Sophisticated Dingo is a great title.
Great name. Great band. They're really fun. I like Sophisticated Dingo, and I do know them, hence I like them. So that's very cool, Daniel. It's nice of you to give a shout out to your friends, and our listeners can go and give them a little listen.
Give them a listen. Listen along with the Terries, Betty Rays, and Press Club.
Bump up those streams.
Get them up there. Sophisticated Dingo, 12,000 monthly listeners. Let's get that to a million. By this time next week.
I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. It's easy to go viral.
Absolutely.
I did a TikTok recently and I, like, you know, throughout the day, it had like 1,000 views, which isn't much, but I get fuck all. So I was like, oh, bloody hell, that's all right.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Came back like a few hours later and it had 10,000.
Oh, great work.
And I was like, what's happened?
Oh my God, how many has it had now? 10 million?
So I think I'm viral. I think I'm a TikToker star.
Oh my God.
I think I'm a TikToker star.
A TikToker star.
Oh my God, I'm a star.
Congratulations.
Of TikTok. I'm a star of TikTok. Thank you.
Wow, TikTok is. TikTok
is star.
You're a TikToker.
I'm a TikToker.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. thanks to our Fat Quota questioners this week. And next thing is we shout out to a few people who've been supporting the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod. And Jess usually come up with a little game to do with the topic. Or sometimes we go to our friends at horsenamegenerator.com.
Okay. Because I was thinking, you know how Pocahontas is a nickname?
Yep.
And like what it means. I don't want to give them all a nickname. I guess we give them a nickname? I was thinking more of like the meaning. No, okay. Their name, but what does it mean? What does their name mean?
Okay, great. Love that. Well, first up, I would like to thank from Old Crow in Canada, it's Stephen Climmy. Stephen Climmy.
That's actually crazy, the coincidence, because Stephen Climmy means Old Crow.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
It means Old Crow. Some translations, it means like decrepit crow. But so many just say that it's Old Crow. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Wow.
Well, I'm looking up Old Crow, a community in the Canadian territory of Yukon, located in a periglacial environment.
Wow.
Very, very cool. I don't know how many people live here.
That's very cool.
It looks very remote. Okay. Like, incredibly remote. Like, it's northwestern Canada on the border of Alaska.
Wow.
Thanks so much for listening up there, Climmy. An Old Crow? You Old Crow?
You Old Crow.
I would also like to thank from Baldavis. It is Baldavis. In Western Australia, B of B&E.
B of B&E. Oh, and the B stands for Bronson.
Bronson
from Around the Twist.
Oh, that's what it means.
Yeah.
And the E stands for Bronson and?
And Eggy.
Eggy from Round the Twist. Who could forget that episode where Bronson meets up with Eggy? A classic episode of Australian television. Honestly, if I was to read out any Round the Twist plot to someone who's never seen it, it would sound just as batshit.
Yeah, that's right. But Bronson meets an egg.
Do you remember the one where one of them microwaves some like underwear or swimmers and then puts them on suddenly they're magical swimmers?
He microwaved them. Yeah. It's a bonkers show.
Loved it. I love Round the Twist. Fantastic. And good on you to Bronson of Bronson and Eggy from Baldavis in Western Australia. I would like to thank from Fishers in Indiana, it's Matthew Harris.
And Matthew Harris means, Dave?
Son of Chris. Son of Chris. Matthew Harris's name.
Son of Chris.
Imagine if
Matthew's dad's name is Chris.
Is your name Chris?
That'd be.
Oh my God.
That'd be so. Matthew, please let us
know. You know what the weirdest part is? His mum's also named Chris.
Oh my God.
That's Chris and Chris.
Son of Chris.
Matthew Harris, son of Chris from Fishers, Indiana. Mm. I bow down to thee. I would like to thank from Leeds.
Leeds.
I would like to thank Rosanna.
Rosanna. And Rosanna means. Red Anna. So
Red Anna. Yeah. Wow, where do you get your ideas? I mean, I can't believe that that's what came up when you looked up Rosanna and what it means.
I'm just like, it's not my idea, it's just what it means. It means Red Anna. And Anna is a type of frog. So it's a red frog.
That makes sense to me.
Thank you, because it's the truth.
Red Anna.
Do you want to thank one more?
Yes, I'd like to thank, not that far from Leeds, but further south, from Sheffield in Greatest of Britain's Mr. Sheffield. It's Michael Westwood.
Michael Westwood.
Michael means guy who gathers stones.
Yes.
He's a stone gatherer.
Stone gatherer. Very important job.
Yeah. I mean, Stonehenge wouldn't be anywhere without. It would just be a henge.
Yeah.
What the fuck's a henge?
What the fuck is a henge? Get this henge out of my face.
I hate henges. Thank you, Michael Westwood, gatherer of stones.
I would love to thank some people from Chester Springs in Pennsylvania. I would love to thank Jason Wozner.
Jason Wozner.
What a great name.
It was a great name.
I hope I said that right, but beautiful. Jason?
It means skate skateboard.
Whoa!
Daredevil.
Hell yeah. Jason Wozner.
Jason means skateboard.
Yes.
Wozner means daredevil.
Daredevil. Put them together.
You got a skateboarding daredevil.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't need pads.
No freaking way.
Yeah. Whoa.
No helmet for this bad boy. Now wear a helmet.
Yeah, definitely.
I would also love to thank from Newtown in New South Wales, Craig Ryan.
Craig, what does
Sorry,
that mean?
Craig.
Sorry.
That's what it translates to.
Sorry, Rian.
Craig Rian.
And Craig Rian, what does that mean?
That means squeaky door.
Squeaky door. Fantastic.
Yes. It's essentially like someone who's not stealthy. You know, they're like a squeaky door. You can always hear them coming.
All right, squeaky door.
Yep, there he is. There's Craig Rian.
Hello, Craig Rian.
I've been expecting you. And he's like, ugh. So thank you, Craig. I know you're in New South Wales, so it's Craig to you, but the Americans cannot hear the difference.
We're translating.
I would also love to thank from Columbus, Ohio, Dawn Stanley.
Dawn Stanley, which actually means midnight blues. Midnight blues. When you're feeling a bit like, you know, lost at night.
You're kind of okay through the day, and then it gets to nighttime and it's dark and you're alone and you're just like, what
alone
am
with
I
your
doing?
Thoughts.
What am I doing with my life? Is this it? Is this it for me?
Yeah, and to Dawn I say, it's not it.
But it feels it, doesn't it?
At midnight, but by the morning you're fine.
Oh, you're fine. Have a sleep, you'll be right.
Dawn Stanley, Midnight Blues.
And finally, I would love to thank from Stroud. In Ontario in Canada, I would love to thank Marissa Stroud.
No,
Marissa Stroud. We've thanked Marissa Stroud before because we were like, Stroud from Stroud? I'm sure of it.
No.
I'm sure of it. That is incredible, Marissa Stroud from Stroud. Maybe in the Triptych Club recently or something like that.
It's not coming up when I'm searching any other Strouds.
Oh, we've talked about Stroudy before. I'm sure of it. But thank you so much.
Oh, maybe on the fact credit question.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not sure where. Wow. We'll have to have a glimpse.
Was there somebody else who had the name and the place the same?
We're just in. Jess and I aren't usually in charge of this section of the show. Matt,
we've probably fucked it.
Matt's a spreadsheet wizard. He usually puts this part together.
Wizard and spreading the sheet.
That's pretty good.
And getting into bed.
Yeah. And having a good sleep.
He loves to snooze.
Which is where we can assume he is now because he's sleeping on the job because we've had to do this for ourselves.
I know.
And we're not very good at it.
We've probably done a bad
Marissa
job.
Stroud from Stroud. What does Marissa Stroud mean though?
Marissa
in case we've never
Stroud,
shouted out Marissa
before.
Let's
do a word each.
Okay.
Bear.
Hammock.
Bear hammock. It's a hammock for bears.
Oh, wow.
But like it's called a bear hammock, but it doesn't mean that like only bears use it. They can, I guess. But it's just that it's very big. It's big enough for a bear. So you and a paramour could get in there.
Both okay.
Enjoy a bit of a swing in the hammock.
Beautiful.
Very nice stuff.
Canada's got bears. They need them. They need a bear hammock.
Thank you, Marissa, Dawn, Craig, Jason, Michael, Rosanna, Matthew, B of B&E, and Stephen.
Great work, everyone. You rock my world. Our final part of the show is to welcome people into the Triptych Club, which is our hall of fame for people that have already been shouted out to because they've been on the shout-out level or above on Patreon for 3 consecutive years, and to thank them for their dedication to this podcast. We induct them into the hall of fame, the Triptych Club. We welcome them in, and it's a place where you can hang out. Mm. There's live bands. There's music.
Yep.
There's food. Mm-hmm. There's chill out zones. There's foosball. There's hockey tables.
Yep.
There's a football pitch out back if you're feeling fit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want, because once you're in, you can never leave. And why would you want to?
You wouldn't. How dare you?
And Jess, you're our fantastic bartender/chef.
Yep.
What food or drink have you organized this week?
Thank you for asking, Dave. I have prepared Virginia ham.
Okay.
A variety of heavily salted ham. Preserved by curing and smoking, and I've got it ready for you. So a nice Virginian ham.
Wow.
And virgin margaritas.
Nice.
So great combo, and you're welcome. You usually book a band, Dave, as well.
Yes, but this week it's not a band. It's actually a composer, pianist, singer, music director, record producer. You're never going to believe this. I book these guys months, if not years in advance sometimes. And this week, we have the musical stylings of Alan Menken, best known for his scores and for songs for the Walt Disney Animation Studio films The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and of course, Pocahontas.
Wow, Alan Menken was busy.
What are the chances? He's won 2 Academy Awards.
And you managed to get him for our Triptych Club.
He is in. That I'm is loving incredible. It.
And the other thing that we do is...
Oh, my God. So sorry. This is so rare. This is so rare, but you'll forgive the interruption.
I don't know if I will.
Alan Menken. I didn't give you his full title. Alan Menken. EGOT.
Get fucked.
He is one of 18 people to have won an Emmy, Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Only 18.
And he's only one of two people to have won a Razzie, as well as an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony, making him a REGOT.
Wow. That's the dream.
Wow.
That is the absolute dream. Congratulations. And look, the other thing, the one of the most beautiful parts of the Triptych Club is Matt holding the clipboard, lifting the velvet rope. We are all standing, we're cheering for you to enter into the club. Dave is on the stage, he's hyping you up, I'm hyping Dave up. I'll read the names for you, Dave. You hype them up. Are you ready?
I am absolutely ready.
We have four inductees this week. First up, from Brighton in Essex, it's Nick Wilson.
They've nicked my heart. It's Nick Wilson.
Yes. From Abbotsford in Victoria, it's Daniel Headley.
I don't want this compliment to go to your Headley, but you might be the greatest person I've ever met.
Yes. From Address Unknown, we can only assume deep in the moles. Shelley Fitness.
Oh, my gosh. I think you are really fitness, and my gosh, don't you know it. You know that song from the streets?
No.
Fit, but you know it, Shelley. Okay.
No, that's good.
When I hold, you know how when you hold a shell up to your ear, you can hear the ocean?
Yes.
Well, when I hold the ocean up to my ear, I hear Shelley.
Whoa. That's amazing.
That's what they mean to me.
Stop putting your ear in the ocean.
No, I've got swimmer's ear.
Finally, from Gilliston Heights in New South Wales, it's James Horn.
Sorry, I just need to blow my James Horn for a second. Legend! Legend! We've got a legend! That's me blowing the James Horn.
That's very good. Thank you and welcome to James, Shelley, Daniel and Nick. Couple of Aussies in there. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, great to have you in.
Thank you so much. Welcome aboard. Make yourself at home. And the final thing that we need to do is just to tell you that we love you. And if you want to suggest a topic, you can over at dogoonpod.com. There's a link there. It's also a link in the show notes. And you can find us at dogoonpod across all social media as well.
We'll be there.
Can't get rid of us. Dave, I reckon boot at home.
Hey, you know where we will be next week?
Where?
Right here. Same place, same channel, same podcast. We'll be back with another fantastic episode. I can only presume and assume. But until then, also thank you so much for listening. And until then, goodbye.
Laters. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.